subject today, the believers and God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is a message that tells us how much God loves us and what God has done for us. This is what is meant by the mercies of God. The mercies of God is overflowing. They are beyond anything that a person could ever desire. All you need to do is just think about what God has done for us. Or you can get a little closer to home and say, what have God done for me lately? Don't have to go back 20 years. Just go back to this morning. What have he done for me? God has met our desperate need to get right with him. That need have been supplied. Everything we need to get right with God, he's already provided it. God's mercy provides the power to set us free from the terrible bondage of this life and give us life eternally. In light of the mercies of God and of all of this that God has done for us, we must devote ourselves to God. We must dedicate and commit ourselves to him. What we are about to say is not being said to the world. It's only being said to the believers. For the world is lost and does not want to be found. Only to the brethren of Christ. Only to the brethren of Christ. And brethren include male and female. This word is coming to the believers. Point number one comes from verse number 1 of 12. The believer is to present his body to God. The believer is to present his or her body to Christ, to God. The importance of the human body cannot be overstated. The one thing upon the earth that is abused more than anything else is man's body. Man abuses his body. He neglects his body. He ignores his body and ignores it sometimes by overeating. He or she become inactive, neglecting his body. And sometimes you can abuse it by becoming too active. You can abuse it by partaking of harmful substance. Or you can abuse it by getting too little rest or too much rest. You can abuse it. So the body is important to God. God demands the believer's body. God is not only interested in a man's spirit. The dedication of the body is not to be made to self. The dedication of the body is not to be made to others. The dedication is not to be made to something else. The body is to be offered to God and God alone. God wants the body to be sacrificially living for Him. If it doesn't cost you anything, you're not living for God. It's going to cost you something. A living sacrifice means constant and continual sacrifice. If it's going to mean anything, you have to sacrifice. If you can serve God and it doesn't ever put you at a disadvantage in some kind of way, you need to check yourself. I know, but Baggett, you don't know what I had to give up to come this morning. No, I surely don't. But since God blessed you to be alive, inhaling and exhaling His breath that He breathed into Adam, you ought to just make a sacrifice and dedicate your body and your life to Him. To be a living sacrifice, if it's going to mean anything, it means that at any time, at any place, at anywhere, with anybody, you are willing to make a sacrifice for God. You don't just do it just because of who's around. I say this, and I ain't got nothing to do with how I come across to you. You have nothing to do with me loving you. You can't stop me from loving you, and you can't make me love you, because you have nothing to do with it. Because I'm in love with God, and you are God's child. So I have to love you. And Jesus didn't say like people. He said love ye one another. Somebody said, what's the difference? I like to watch snakes crawl on the ground. But I ain't in love with them. I like to watch a skunk go across the road in front of me. But I'm not in love with him. So there is a difference. We need to dedicate ourselves to Christ. When we become a living sacrifice, the body lives for God and serves God. Don't have any choice, because I belong to Him. The dedication of the body to God is acceptable to God. It says that in the scripture. It is well-pleasing, it's approving, and it's extremely satisfying to God for the believer to present their bodies to Him. The believer's body is either causing God's heart to feel pain and hurt, or to feel joy and rejoicing. The dedication of the body to God is the believer's reasonable service. And I saw something a few minutes ago after he had read that. If you have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, in the first verse, when it says acceptable, wholly acceptable unto God, which is, take that out. And says, your reasonable service. Wholly acceptable unto God, your reasonable service. The which is put in there so it will read, it will flow real good to you. You will pick it up. But it's not, it doesn't change the meaning of it. But it lets you know that this is what you ought to do. You ought to present your body to God, which your reasonable service. Don't think that you're doing God a favor. He's always doing the favor to us. The dedication of the body to God is the believer's reasonable service, as we said before. The word reasonable means rational, intelligence, and logical. This is what you ought to do. I heard you. Because he blessed you to yet be alive, he created you, he made you in his own image. It is an act of the mind, thinking about it and figuring out what and how to do something. This is what we're doing, which is our reasonable service. Service means worship, ministry. This is what we need to do. We need to worship him, give him the glory and the adoration that he needs because of who he is. The believer must be constantly seeking to know what is allowed and what is not allowed according to the word of God. That's why you ought to be studying your Bible, so you can know what you are supposed to do and what you are not supposed to do. Point number two. The world's view of the human body. And that the world's view is radically different from God's view. Some persons treat the body as though it is all that matters in the world. They believe the body, its physical and mental and social development, is what life is all about. They declare that man must take care of his body to the ultimate degree. Then there are those that are on the other side. They treat the body as if it matters little. The supreme significance in life is the spirit of living and getting the most out of life. While I'm here, I need to try to get the most out of it. What a person does with the body matters little, just so he takes reasonable care of it. I'm not even thinking about that I'm an eternal being, that I'm going to exist after I leave this world. You know the old cliche, eat, drink, and be merry for the day you die. Just have your fun while you're here. A lot of the time, that's the world's view of this body. But that's not what God sees, how he sees the body. God's view of the body is higher and more supreme than man's view. When God created man, he created him in his own image. That image rested in the human body. Whatever the image is, it was given to man by God. And at one time, me and my thinking, all the other animals were created before man, and they were walking around inhaling and breathing air. And it didn't say God did anything to them, but just created them. But when they made man, I think it says it in Genesis, he kneeled down and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Without the breath of God, you would not have a living soul. But because God breathed into this thing that we call a body, that's why you ought not to let anybody make you think that you are nothing. Because you are walking around, and the Bible says that he created man in the image of himself. No matter what anybody else think about you, you ought to know within yourself that God did a miraculous thing when he created man. But the idea of this body, this physical body, he values that because he does not reside inside of nothing else that he made. I know you might like think a lot of your house or your car, your all of that, but he will not reside in something like that. He will come and tabernacle with you within this body where you reside. Man's body is of supreme importance to God. God gave the body the stamp of his approval because he created the body in his own image. And I know I said that before, but some things are worth saying again, because sometimes we don't value ourselves. We allow other people to make us think that we are less than they are. Don't do that, because you are made in the image of God. And think about this. When God sent his son into the world, he chose to send him in a human body. When God's son was put to death and his body was buried, God raised his body up from the grave and took his resurrected body into the spiritual world. If the body was not important, he would have left it here. But this body that we have is of value to God. He raised his son after he allowed him to die for a wretch like me and carried his body back to glory. Scripture teaches us that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The body actually houses the presence of God's Spirit. God's Spirit comes and tabernacle with you if you will allow him to come and tabernacle with you. Scripture teaches that the body has been created to exist eternally. The old cliche about when you're dead, you're done, is not so. There is life after death, one place or the other, in heaven or in hell. You will spend eternity in one of those two places. Might not know a whole bunch of things, but I believe that with everything I have to believe with, that you will spend eternity one or two places. And can I just tell you, I know sometime when if you've seen the series of Left Behind, they look like they're having a good time. Not so. Hell is a place of a burning infirmary where it's going to be hot. And we complain because the whole earth get 90 degrees. We complain about that. If you think that's hot, put a cast iron skillet on the stove and heat it up with grease and grab it with your hand. You're going to hurry up and turn it loose. Because that shows how important the body. God, being God, want this body to be with him. But if you decide, yeah, Scripture teaches that the body has been created to exist eternally. That's what we just stopped trying to describe. Scripture teaches that the body is to be cared for to the ultimate degree. I heard you. The ultimate degree is that you will invite Christ into your life and you will receive him as Lord and Savior. And when you do that, you will be at the ultimate point of your life. Point number three. Offer God your mind. Was reading one of those books or something that says, and one of the things it says for you, if you want to find out how much you think of yourself, so how much would you sell your own mind to yourself? How much? I know that's weird to you, but let it soak in. What value, how much monetary value do you put on your own mind? Y'all don't have enough money for mine. I'll just let you in on that part of it. If you think about buying it, you got to come up with a whole lot of money, because it's worth an awful lot to me. Verse 2 tells us how we can maintain that commitment. And it tells us that by renewing our mind and not following the fashions and the patterns of the world. The world may be doing things that builds selfishness, not selflessness. The verse indicates that we must stop conforming to the world. And this verse implies that this is something that we are doing, because he says, be not conformed. It means that we're already in the process of being conformed. How do you, why do you say that? Because we want to do so many of the things in the church that the world is doing outside that we want to bring to the church. That's not godly. It has too much of the world in it. If we are serious about surrendering and fully to Christ, we must focus on being transformed, not being conformed to those things of the world and the world's values. He who controls the mind owns the person. He who controls the mind owns the person. A conformist is afraid to be different from or feel the need, and they feel the need to be like everyone else. A Christian is not supposed to want to be just like everybody else. What's that little lizard that whatever he or she gets on, they change? That's the way some Christians want to be. Be just however you want me to be, that's how I... No, you got to be different. You got to be like... I know none of y'all don't watch that, and the children are gone. Too many of y'all don't watch cartoons. But there's a cartoon character called Pepe Le Pew. Y'all know him, though. He always tries to disguise himself as something that he is not. He's a skunk. He always wants to disguise himself, and he just swears he's a lover. Every female cat in the world have to fall in love with him. That's Pepe Le Pew. But when they find out what he really is, they go the other way. And see, he thinks he's okay. He can't smell himself. In here today, some of us are facing incredible temptations right now. You feel as if you're being pulled to conform, to go along with the way your friends think and the way they're leading you. I just have three words for you. Don't give in. And you have that kind of stuff going on in the church. Want you to be just like I am. Don't let them decide what you do. And it's coming, what they're telling you to do, coming straight from the Word. Sometimes we want to doctor the Word up. You can't doctor this up. It's like they used to do that casserole. You take it straight or you don't take it. If you dilute it, you will not get the real effect of it. So you got to take this straight. You don't get it on the rocks and with a chaser. You don't get it with ice. You get it straight just like it is. When you take this word will change you. That way you will be, you won't allow the temptations and the things that keep coming at you to bother you. It's kind of like walking in a theater, a dark theater in the middle of the day. When you walk in there, you can't see anything. The longer you stay in there, the more your eyes adjust to where you are. And it will begin to get where you can see just a little bit. And you begin to see all right as long as you stay in the theater. You want to mess your eyesight up? Get back up out of there and go back outside. You're at a place where you cannot see again. So what my point is that we have a tendency to adjust to where we are. So you can see in the dark if you stay there long enough. If you stay there long enough, that will be the only place that you can see. But you need to come out of there because your mind is affected. Your mind, if you do not have control of your mind, if you do not allow this word to get into your mind, the devil will. So you need to do something to keep him out, and the Holy Spirit will keep it out. Point number four. The believer is to be transformed. The Greek root of the word transform is morphe, which means metamorphosis. What it really means is the real being of a man. It is his very nature and his essence, the inseparable part, the unchanging shape of man. Listen, the butterfly or the tadpole go through the stages of metamorphosis. If you take a tadpole, you can't keep the tadpole as a tadpole all the time. If you get him in the water, he's going to go through a process called metamorphosis, and he's going to change himself. That's what it means by being transformed. So many times we get in the process of being transformed, and something happened to us, we don't like the way and how long it's taken us to be transformed. We want to hurry it up and we want to change it. We want help coming. I stopped by to tell you to go through it. Let the metamorphosis take its time to get you where it needs to be. When you cooking that cake, baking that cake, if you take it out of the oven too quick, you got a messed up cake. Or if there's a hole, if you open the door to the oven to just to look at it, you can't do that. That's changing it up. So when you're going to be transformed, you got to stay there. You got to endure the pain. You got to endure the suffering, because the transformation that's taking place is down on the inside, and you're going to be different when it's all over. But you got to know that you have got to stay there. To be transformed is to come out from where you are and allow Christ and God to take and move you to the level where he needs for you to be, so he can get the glory from you. And if you want to be changed so you can get the glory, you're making a mistake. God must receive the glory if you're going to be changed. And the mind, what's that United Negro College form said? A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
We waste it because we will not allow this word to sink into our mind and get it where this is all you think about right here. This is this word. No, do you know everything that's in? No, but I'm sure trying to get it into my life and master it and not get it up here, get it in here so it comes out and my brothers and my sisters can see Christ in my life. This is how I want to be transformed. I don't want to be transformed so everybody will like. I want to be transformed so God can use me to do what he needs for me to do. If everybody in the world like you, you better check yourself. Because let me tell y'all something, and I don't try to do it, but if I don't step on somebody's foot here today, this word will offend you. If your mind is not stayed on Christ, this word will offend you because in your mind there will be something that the word says you ought to do and you ought to say, not me. And you might not tell anybody that, but it happens to all of us. Something somewhere in this word, there's some things that we need to get right with God. And when we allow him into our mind, I told you a few minutes ago, he who controls the mind controls the being. If you allow Christ into your mind and he takes your mind, he got you. That's why we don't want to surrender. We want to be our own man. Yeah. You have to submit. And nobody likes to think they'll submit it to anybody else. And I throw another word at you that's bad to us is you got to become a slave. And that's a bad word because we see it in the flesh. You got to see it in the spirit. You have a master and you have to allow him to control your mind. Because I'm a slave to Christ, it does not mean I'm a slave to you. Christ is my master. And if serving him, I help you, then I help you. The mind is renewed by the presence and the image of Christ in the life of believers. Christ's image and presence will not be there if you are not a believer. I'm not lost. Because he will not tabernacle where sin is. That's why, brothers and sisters, that when you come to Christ and you know that you have sinned, that's why you feel bad. That's why you need to hurry up and repent. David, a man after God's own heart, sinned. But as soon as he found out he had sinned, he repented. And he's a friend of God. God loved him. He loves you. And there's not one of you in here that I'm looking at now that haven't sinned. And God yet loves you. And you don't have to tell everybody else what your sins are. But God, in spite of them, God loves you because of his son. His son died on Calvary. When you allow him to take your mind and form it and transform it to the way that he would have it to be so you can give him the glory, you're moving forward. You're moving forward. And don't let nobody tell you that you're not. The believer is to live a transformed life. The believer is to live a transformed life. He is to walk day by day with the renewing of his mind more and more. Just because you get saved today, it doesn't mean that that's as close to God as you're going to get.
Your mind is going to be renewed more and more. The more you delve into God's word, the more your mind will be renewed to be like the image of God. We are to allow the Spirit of Christ to focus his mind more and more upon God and the spiritual things that God have in this world. The believer is to love the Lord with all of his mind. The believer is to keep his mind up on spiritual things and not the carnal things of the world. The believer is not to let his mind be corrupted by the world. The believer is not to fulfill the desire of the flesh, nor the desire of his or her mind. The believer is not to walk as the world walks, but is to walk as Christ would have them to walk. The believer is to be renewed in the spirit of his mind. You won't change physically outside when you renew your mind, but your actions and your deeds and your way of thinking will change because you have allowed Christ to come into your mind. The believer is to let the mind of Christ be in him, walking humbly before men and before God. Listen to me if you can and if you will. To be transformed means that I'm going to change. To be transformed is to mean that I'm going to allow Christ to come into my life and allow him to work in an area or areas of my life where I need help. And there's not one of us that do not need the help of the Holy Spirit. Because God have blessed you to yet be alive, it doesn't mean that you are all right with God. The only people that do not make mistakes are the people that sit around on the stool and do nothing. If you work for God, you're going to mess up somewhere down the line, but you don't do it intentionally. Brothers and sisters, I stopped to tell you that the believers and God go just like a horse and carriage. But God got to be first, and you got to be the carriage. If you put God first in your life, he'll bring everything else that you need along with him. When you take God and you become a believer, you will be transformed. Nobody else might know that you've been transformed, but the Spirit deep down on the inside of you will change you. He'll change the way you walk. He'll change the way you talk. He'll change where you go. Most of all, he'll change how you look at God down on the inside of your brothers and your sisters. Can I just tell you how people can know that you're serving God? It's determined by how you treat other people that you see every day. You can't love God and want to be with God, and you can't stand to be on the same pew with somebody else in the church. I stop by to tell you that's not being God-like. Your mind have not been transformed. If you are disobedient, if you won't do what God put in your life to do, you're going to do it your way. I stop to tell you that your mind and your body have not been transformed. God's in love with you, and he wants to take you home to be with him. Well, I got to get out your way. In my conclusion, victory over the world is gained by the believer when the believer renews their mind. When you renew your mind, I keep saying this because some of us are at the point that once we get saved, we think that's all it is to it. Your mind and your body have to be renewed more and more every day that I live. Ought to want to live closer to being God. Whatever you do today, you ought to want to do it better tomorrow, especially if you're doing it for God. When you come to him, the believer must focus his mind upon the things of God. Don't worry about everybody else. Just worry about God. If you get things right with God, it will also be right with the people of God. There's some people are not going to see you any different than you were 25 years ago. That's one mistake I think sometimes we make in the church when we've known people for a long time. I allow God to change me, but I won't let him change them. I want to hold them where they were 25 years ago. You can't do that because you're not God. You got to let them come away from there.
because God allows you to move a little bit closer to him. You can't hold them there. If God were to hold me where I used to be in the yesterdays of my life, I wouldn't even be here, because this December and it's on a Sunday and I wouldn't have had to work. I'd probably be on Eglin with my Remington 12 gauge trying to hunt something or trying to catch something out of the water. But you see, because I allowed God to come into my life and make a change in my mind. God's a good God, y'all, and it takes time for him to change. But you got to come and listen. If you want to be saved, all you got to do is just come. Just come. Come to Christ. Don't try to change anything. Come just like you are. Because if you come for the right reason, the Holy Spirit will dip you and he will cleanse you up. But you got to come to him. We must focus our mind upon living and moving and having our beings in God. If it's for any other reason, if you're coming because grandmama wants you to come, you can stay, because you got to come because God called you and you want to come. If you want to come to him, all you got to do is just make up your mind. Seems like sometime when I make my mind up, before I can finish making it up, it changes again. But you just got to gut it out. You got to say, I'm going, no matter what happened. That's what you got to do. You just got to walk, because the world will never tell you it's time for you to come to him. They'll always tell you, wait till another time. Wait just a little while longer. But you can't wait, because time waits on no man. You got to come. You need to be the believer. You need to walk along with God, because God is the only thing that have been here all the time, and that's God. That's it, but let me tell you a story. And there was this man. He was one of the ugliest human beings that had ever lived. But he grew up and he saw this beautiful young lady. And even though he was the ugliest person that had ever lived, she gave him the time of the day. He found out that her daddy was the mayor of the town where he lived. So he wanted to marry her. And y'all do know this is a story. I'm gonna get a point across. He wanted to marry her. So what he did was he went to a manufacturer with his ugly face. And he had seen a picture of the face of a handsome man. He carried that picture to the factory and said, "Can you make me a mask just like this?" The guy said yes. He made it for him. Paid an enormous price for it, put it on. Then he started pursuing the young lady. She fell in love with him. Long story short, they got married. He kept the face on 24/7, all day and all night. He kept it on, lived with it on. Story goes, she kept seeing him with it on, and she got to the place where she knew he had it on. One day she looked at him and said, "Baby," said, "why do you wear that mask all the time?" Said, "You ought to take it off." He loved her so much that he took the chance of taking that mask off. When he took the mask off of his face, she looked at him, she smiled, and she walked away. He had had that face on so long. He had believed so hard that that was his face. When he took the mask off, she saw the same face that she had been seeing all the time. I know you missed that. I know you missed it. I know you missed this. So let me try to help you out. When you're in love, and I ain't talking about infatuation or lust. I'm talking about when you're sure enough in love, like God is with me. When he looks at me, he doesn't see me. He sees the person that I represent. That's Jesus the Christ. He sees his son every time he looks at you, if you are a believer. And that's what you need to come away from here. When God looks at me, he sees a son or a daughter. And no parent can look at their child, no matter how deformed or how bad they may look, and not love them. You are a child of God. And you are somebody. If because nobody else think you are, it's because your daddy thinks you are. With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to come to Christ just as you are. Don't try to change anything or anybody. Just come to Christ. Come yourself just as you are. And all he's going to do is just love you. That's all he'll do is love you. Just the way that you are. And if you come, Christ's Holy Spirit will change you the way he needs for you to be so he can get the glory. Will you come? Come to Christ just as you are. Don't wait, because you don't know whether you'll get the chance again or not. You need to come to Christ just as you are. Will you come? Will you come to Christ? He'll take you. No matter the condition, no matter what you look like, no matter where you've been or what you've done, he'll take you just as you are. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you. Sisters, we are